One. Stay tuned to the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. The people are back once again. We are gathered here on the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots, to make sure the resistance is going down the track, headed full steam ahead as we battle this march to Marxism, and make sure that Chairman Joe and Kamala Harris and the rest of the communists, formerly called the Democrat Party, are not able to transform our exceptional nation into their little Marxist hellhole. Joining the battle, a couple of other soldiers. We've got our executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
That's right. Here we go. Glad to be here, Sean.
It's hump day.
Yes, it is.
Right. So appreciate you with a hump there. Looks really good on you.
Well, and thank you. I'm going to Notre Dame.
Where's your bell? Right. our associate producer and researcher, Michelle Drizella. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there. How's everybody doing today?
It's good. It's midweek. Yeah, good. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot going on here today.
Yes, we do.
And, we got news of the day. And, of course, we're going to get to the McConaughey grandstanding gun rant. Catherine Engelbrecht will join us from True the Vote to talk about 2,000 mules and kind of sort of breaking news that. Well, you have to hear for yourself, but there's a federal agency targeting her based on this movie. Can't say which one, but it's news that they are, because she's been through it before. The Biden regime saboteurs are out to ruin the U.S. economy. We'll name some names. We'll preview J6. It's coming up in prime time tomorrow night. Everybody's glossing over J4. We're going to tell you what you're not going to see. And the J6 hearings, if you choose to watch it all. And the Democrats have a new boogeyman, by the way. It's usually race. This is kind of race related, but they've stepped it up a notch. Was it Emerald used to say, what was that thing that he had a saying? Bam or something like that.
Bam.
They're bamming it. They're stepping it up a notch. Our founding fathers quote George Mason, referencing advice given to the British Parliament in Pennsylvania. By Pennsylvania Governor Sir William Keith. And he said, quote, to disarm the people as the most effectual way to enslave them. End of quote. Hmm. And that was in the debates in the several state conventions back in 1788. So people knew back then that the best way that you can enslave a people, the best way that you can make them subservient to capitulate and submit is to take away their firearms. And we got a lot of fireworks today about that. We will start with one of our emails from Paz, who writes, it's a short one, but a good one. He says, AOC's indigenous heritage will be recognized with an honorary appointment as leader of the Lakota tribe. From here on out, AOC now will be referred to as Spitting Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember, we needed a nickname for her. And we had Liawatha and we had Pocahontas. So AOC now is Spitting Bull. I love it. As we came to record the session today, a California man was arrested overnight near the Maryland home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The man told police he was there to kill Kavanaugh. And after the story broke, the Supreme Court issued a statement confirming the incident. This was, again, we warned about this. Thank God for U.S. Marshals in Maryland. We broadcast in the blue state of Maryland behind enemy lines. This happened in Montgomery County, which is a suburb of D.C. And it is something that there was a 911 call around 1:15 this morning. Suspicious man near Kavanaugh's home. Police got it. They were dispatched, but there was also U.S. Marshals on the scene within seconds. So he has now been arrested and will be charged. This is what happens when you breed vile hatred of Supreme Court justices. And as we've seen the radical left do on the Roe v. Wade opinion, which could be out any moment now.
Chuck Schumer.
Again, remember that threat he made from the Supreme Court steps that they would regret it. They would rue the day. And so, they talk about what Donald Trump said to the Proud Boys, stand by. He actually meant stand down, but that's been misreported. and mischaracterized. Remember having to fight for your country, and that was deemed to be a violent rhetoric. Well, what we've seen come out of the mouths of the left in the media, many so-called responsible Democrat elected leaders, they are responsible and should be held accountable. Look, the man that is threatening Kavanaugh is the one that's ultimately responsible. But this rhetoric has got to stop. We've had a congressman shot by a Bernie bro, and now we have an armed man from California, the land of you know, some fruits and nuts. We got we got some conservatives there in California that are patriots that are fighting the fight, but not in power, not at the governor's mansion, not in the state house. Hopefully, they just had the primary yesterday there, and hopefully, maybe there's a chance at least the Republican. Caruso, I think, was up by 4 or 5 points, but they're going to a runoff because of that stupid jungle primary that they have there. So that's news. Some other questions on my mind from the get-go. Have you or Michelle seen a mugshot of Paul Pelosi yet?
No.
No.
I have not either, and we're wondering where that is. Because we know we see DUI snapshots of athletes, of celebrities, of some Republican politicians, but magically, the booking photo of Paul Pelosi has not been viewed. Just asking.
Why?
Yeah. Where is the Alec Baldwin indictment? What is taking so long in that investigation? Inquiring minds want to know, obviously. So we'll get to that. By the way, Governor Hogan of Maryland has issued a statement on the attempt by this armed guy to get in and kill Kavanaugh. And he said, the quote, "Early this morning, I was briefed on an incident that occurred near the residence of Justice Kavanaugh and his family. I want to thank the U.S. Marshals, Montgomery County Police, for acting quickly to apprehend the suspect and prevent him from causing any harm. Maryland State Police and others are assisting with the investigation." So, again, that is good news that he was not able to get into the home. But if he did, I hope that Justice Kavanaugh's got his AR-15 ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, he better. You better not wait. The police are usually reactive, not proactive. You better have some kind of, to protect your family, some kind of firearm. Joe Biden actually argues that you should buy a shotgun.
You know, we still don't even know who that leaker is.
And that's the other question. You're right. Where is the update on the leaker of the Supreme Court? Inquiring minds want to know. We've got a lot of important questions to ask here. All right, so the big news of the day yesterday, I'm sure you've seen, has been all over the news. But I have kind of a different take on this. I know that Fox News and some on the left, they love this. Matthew McConaughey, the actor, you know, the Lincoln spokesman.
Yeah.
He is from Uvalde, Texas. He was he wrote an op-ed in the Austin American Statesman the other day, in which he was arguing for gun responsibility. Well, first and foremost, the vast majority of gun owners in America are law-abiding. That's number one. And number two, they are responsible with their firearms. It's the knuckleheads, and it's the criminals and the mentally ill and those that are on these mind-altering drugs that are not being responsible. And it is something that I kind of was insulted by his implication that if you own a gun, you're not being responsible with it. Most of us know how to handle a firearm that have one, have been trained properly in handling a firearm, know how to clean it, know how to store it, and know to keep it away from children, and know never to lend it out unless it's your hunting buddy that you know is going out to hunt or whatever the case may be. That's where it started yesterday. So somehow he was either invited by the White House or finagled an invitation to the White House. And so he shows up at the White House yesterday, and he meets with Chairman Joe. Remember, that's a guy that said buy a shotgun. Then he comes out, he and his wife, Camilla, they come out and from the White House press briefing room. When I first saw that, I go, what the heck is this? Is he now the official spokesman of Chairman Joe of the administration? Wouldn't it have been better to go outside the White House and hold it on you know, that little driveway there that you see him when they come out of a meeting with?
Right.
You know, that would have been out in the public. You wouldn't have been seen as part of the administration, but apparently that's what they wanted. So immediately my antenna went up. Immediately, I said, this is a grandstanding. I said, it's out of my wife, Robin, because she was watching it with me. I said, get ready. Here comes a grandstanding gun control rant. And sure enough, that's what we got.
Yep.
So first and foremost is the first key. And he got up there. And there are some people speculating that this guy really is he's more of a moderate. He's more of a libertarian, more of a center right guy. But we have some evidence that will indicate he really isn't. But once you watched him yesterday, and before we get into the analysis of this, I know you guys saw it. What did you think of his demeanor? What did you think of the way his body language, the way he was comporting himself, Michelle?
He looked a little nervous at first. He was rubbing his hands, and sometimes I do that when I'm nervous. So right. Yeah, he just looked a little nervous.
So you felt he came off that he wasn't really, he was a little bit on the nervous side.
Yes.
So, Joe, what did you think about McConaughey's performance yesterday?
He looked to me like he had to do number one. I mean, he was just dancing back and forth, touching his nose a lot.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was sincere in his concern, but I didn't necessarily like the message I was hearing.
Yeah, we're going to get into that here in just a second about the content. But I think you're right. The body language was...
Oh, man.
He was...
coerced.
Yeah, you know, to me, it was sort of like, look, I understand he's from Uvalde. So he's hurting. He knows his community's in pain. I think he's passionate about this.
Yeah.
But I think it was also nervous because you are delivering a message that the entire world is watching. This is not just in front of the camera now. This is in front of the entire world.
Right.
And they're hanging on every word that you say, you know, like me. I appreciated the passion, but I didn't like the message. In fact, I think it came off as more of a grandstanding, gun grabbing rant than anything else. And how do I know this? Well, again, been watching liberals, center left individuals for my entire life. It's pretty much that's how they roll. They roll with emotion. There wasn't a lot of logic in what he was saying yesterday. It was all on emotion. Complete with props, by the way. And the props were the green shoes that they were referring to one of the young victims of the Robb Elementary School shooting. I think her name was Meta.
That was weird, I thought.
Well, first off, I saw the green shoes that his wife Camilla was holding in her lap, and they look brand spanking new to me.
Yeah, they did.
And so that was number one. I started to try to check to see where they got the shoes from, and they really, CNN now, of all people, have clarified initial stories and are confirming they were replicas of the shoes that Meta was wearing when she was killed.
So they weren't an example of or the real shoes. They were a prop.
Yes. A Hollywood prop. And you have a Hollywood actor standing up there using Hollywood props to pull the heartstrings of America. Not that we didn't need them already, these poor children and these families. We all feel for them. But this is more political exploitation. And here, you're going to hear him use a phrase about the, remember, never let a good crisis go to waste. Matthew McConaughey from yesterday at the White House.
I'm here today in the hopes of applying what energy, reason, and passion that I have into trying to turn this moment into a reality. Because as I said, this moment is different. We are in a window of opportunity right now that we have not been in before. A window where it seems like real change can happen.
Window of opportunity. Translation, never let a good crisis go to waste. This is how the left talks. They talk about taking advantage of crises, of exploiting these moments, these times. Sure, we've been here before. We've been here before in Sandy Hook and Columbine. We've been there before in Oxford, Michigan. And other school shootings and other mass shootings. So we've had these opportunities. And so what is the opportunity? What does he want as far as, and then out came the props. So first you create the sympathy and you grab everybody's attention, then you can deliver the rest of your message.
Maite wore green high top Converse with a heart she had hand-drawn on the right toe because they represented her love of nature. Camilla's got these shoes. Can you show these shoes, please? Wore these every day. Green Converse with a heart on the right toe. These are the same green Converse on her feet that turned out to be the only clear evidence that could identify her after the shooting.
I'm sorry, man. There, she didn't wear them. I know that sounds terribly hard and picayune, but that wasn't what she was wearing. It was a mock-up. Right. I would have appreciated a photograph of the real shoes than that.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. But no, they chose to cheapen the moment, which is what the left does, to exploit it, to minimize now, instead of remembering this young girl, Maida, and her green Chucks or Converse shoes. We're now going to be talking about how Matthew McConaughey, his wife, and the Biden White House used a prop to exploit this moment. This is, to me, it is beyond cheesy. This kind of behavior, it is pure political theater and propaganda, and there should be no place for it. We talk about tamping down the rhetoric, as we've had, a congressman shot. We've had an apparent attempt on the life of Justice Kavanaugh early this morning. It is time for these leaders, so-called leaders, to stop with throwing these political Molotov cocktails. And this is this kind of stuff it leads right into it. You know, when you're using props in the names of dead children, again, and look, if the parents signed off on it, I get that. They're in their grief. If they thought it was a good idea, hey, we're going to not use her actual shoes, because who knows, maybe she was buried in them. But the fact is that the parents are in grief. I'm not going to blame the parents.
Well, and he portrayed him as the same shoes. He should have said
these shoes. He said these green Converse, the same as she wore. They didn't say they were the exact shoes that she wore that day. But he implied, he left it up to the imagination of the viewer and the listener that these were the shoes. You're right about that. But I just want to be, intellectually fair and honest here today, because that's not what you're going to get from the White House and other people. So, again, the green shoes were used as props. I think that is shameful, but it's typical out of the Biden White House. And then all of a sudden now that we got your attention, now that we've tugged on your heartstrings, let's talk about laws and how we're going to get some stuff done here.
We start by making laws that save innocent lives and don't infringe on our Second Amendment rights. We start right now by voting to pass policies that can keep us from having as many Columbine, Sandy Hooks, Parklands, Las Vegas's, Buffaloes, and Uvaldes from here on. We start by making the loss of these lives matter.
So the loss of all these lives matter in all those places that he mentioned. It is just, he should know better in that, this laws, we have 20,000 or more gun laws in the books today all across America, and yet we still have record crime exploding in places like Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, and elsewhere. So again, when you ban guns, when you put more restrictions on guns, the only thing you do is you take them out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. You empower and enable the criminal, who will always find a way to get them, and of course, a government who has the power.
And it bears repeating that school was a gun-free zone.
Yes.
And there were other schools in Texas that they're not gun-free zones, and they have signs saying that they have guns.
And thank God they've had no incidents. Let's see if does McConaughey mention gun-free zones in his laundry list of legislative items on the agenda.
We need to invest in mental health care. We need safer schools. We need to restrain sensationalized media coverage. We need to restore our family values. We need to restore our American values. And we need responsible gun ownership. Responsible gun ownership. We need background checks. We need to raise the minimum age to purchase an AR-15 rifle to 21. We need a waiting period for those rifles. We need red flag laws and consequences for those who abuse them. These are reasonable, practical, tactical regulations. to our nation, states, communities, schools, and homes. Responsible gun owners are fed up with the Second Amendment being abused and hijacked by some deranged individuals. These regulations are not a step back. They're a step forward for a civil society and the Second Amendment. Look, is this a cure-all? Hell no.
So the regulations he's talking about is they're infringements. They are infringements, and the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And even he admits at the end, is this a cure-all? Hell no. And because it won't. You can't legislate family values. You can't legislate American values. What you can do is you can pass legislation to make people feel better about stuff, but is it going to change a damn thing? The red flag laws are unconstitutional because they deny due process to the person accused. Plain and simple. Should be not even considered out of the gate. Waiting periods, again, you have a right to keep and bear arms. If you infringe on my right for 5 days, 7 days, 2 weeks, however long it is, it is an infringement. And you put me and others at jeopardy with a waiting period. Background checks, we already do. He said we need to invest more in mental health. Yeah, but we need to invest more in studying the kinds of drugs and other things, and maybe more mental institutions are required. We have very few now for the criminally insane. I'd love to know where the guy that was stalking Kavanaugh got his gun, and and what his mental capacities are, and if he had some kind of record in his past. I'm sure we're going to find that out in the coming days. In the case of Justice Kavanaugh. But this is all liberal, doublespeak and talk about let's approach this from the heart, not using our heads. And so I think Matthew McConaughey just outed himself as what he truly is. I mean, there's talk about him running for office, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We all know he doesn't like Trump, so he's going to be at best a moderate, but probably a lefty. And it sounds to me like Matthew McConaughey is a lefty based on what he has said yesterday. And thanks to our executive producer, Joe Hosni-Armacost, for finding this little nugget going all the way back to 2018, where McConaughey wasn't talking about gun responsibility, wasn't talking about common sense regulations. He wanted to ban semi-automatic rifles altogether.
Now, again, I stated in the March for Our Lives mission statement, how do we do this? They've got three hallmarks here. One, let's ban the assault weapons for civilians. And to my friends out there that are responsible owners of these recreational or these assault weapons that they use for recreation, please, man, let us take one for the team here and set it down.
Yeah, take one. Ban them. Take one from the team. Set down your firearm, your AR-15, if you were that pregnant woman protecting her husband and 11-year-old mm-hmm. daughter in Florida, you'd be dead by now if you set it down, if you didn't have an AR-15. There are 20 million AR-15s and other semi-automatic rifles in America today. 20 million. And the reason why there are 20 million is because what happened 2 years ago during the so-called Summer of Love with BLM and Antifa, rioting, looting, burning, murdering, raping. Remember the McCloskeys?
Yeah.
And there they were on their own property standing there with their firearms, and they were charged.
Kept the people off their property.
Yes, they did, and kept themselves alive and safe.
Exactly.
That's why we have AR-15s. And semi-automatic rifles and handguns. It's to protect us from the tyranny of evil. And that can come in the form of government and or mobs, or just in the case of the woman in Florida, three or four home invaders that got the best of their husband. And guess what would have happened to the 11-year-old child and the pregnant woman? So they're here today because of their Second Amendment rights. And I feel horrible for these children and these families, because as a parent myself, it rips your guts out. But we can't imagine what a defenseless United States would be ripe for. Remember our quote from George Mason, to disarm those is to enslave us. And that is never going to fly. You can trot out Matt McConaughey and the next one and the one after that. It's not going to change. It is indelibly etched into our Constitution. And we got a Supreme Court case coming out any day now that has got to do with gun rights. So it's going to be fascinating to watch that along with the potential for the Roe v. Wade overturn. So we'll have to wait and see. All right, up next, Catherine Engelbrecht joins us. She's with truethevote.org. The movie is 2,000 Mules. And so stay tuned here on The Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Joining me now on The Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots, is one of the true great patriots of America, Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote. She and Greg Phillips and Dinesh D'Souza have put out 2,000 Mules. It is an excellent film, one I've already watched a couple of times, because I think the first time you miss a few things. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. So give us an update on 2,000 Mules. I do know maybe we should call it like 1999 Mules to Go or something, because I understand you've already taken down one of the mules.
Well, it's sure looking that way. We've got some things that are expanding now in Arizona. I wish it would have happened a long time ago, but we're glad that the maybe the pressure of the movie helped to move that along, and lots more to come. We're also thrilled about the fact that the movie is a juggernaut. I mean, people around the world are watching it, and from all stripes, Republican, Democrat, Independent, all coming together and saying, you know, what we do need to do something about election integrity. So I think it's a new day. We're excited about the direction things are headed.
Is that the only one that you know of that was under investigation, or are there more shoes to drop here?
Oh, there are lots more under investigation as far as we understand it. But unfortunately, the wheels of justice turn incredibly slowly, and particularly with issues like this that oftentimes just don't get the attention. I mean, the reason that it's coming to pass at all, frankly, is because America is demanding it. Were it not for that, this would be, you know, swept under the rug as it has been for decades. So it's going to take some more. It's going to take time for people to continue, law enforcement to continue to wake up, accept that people aren't going to continue to watch their elections be eroded and not demand answers. But there's a lot more to come, and a lot more in Arizona.
Yeah, that's for sure. Arizona looks to be pretty blatant, as well as Georgia. Do you think you're going to find any traction in Georgia? Because I know you've got a bunch of rhinos there in Georgia that are trying to protect their backsides.
I don't know. Georgia has become hyper-politicized, and it's confounding to me because information was first presented in 2021 when there was time to broaden an investigation and do all the deep dives that by rights needed to be done. And now here we are on the cusp of another election, no further along. And in fact, in many ways, we've made the target rather than looking more closely at what happened in our own election. So it's a difficult one. I mean, I never lose hope, but difficult one.
Well, I know that the so-called fact checkers, and I always like to fact check the fact checkers, and I know Dinesh has done a pretty good job of debunking some of these, but I wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on, you know, specifically they're questioning the technology that you and Greg used in the geospatial technology that was used to track these mules, to how many ballots that they were, how many ballot boxes that they were visiting. I know you did on a basis of 10 or more. What do you say to the people that are questioning the technology, how accurate it is?
Well, I mean, we got a couple of different issues here. Number one, you've got journalists writing about things they have no idea what they're talking about. Whether or not they do it intentionally, they're reaching out to so-called experts who are basing their comments on decade-old technology or older, where, you know, with cell phone data that was used to triangulate it all across towers. I mean, that's ancient history. And then I think you have another group, probably the greater of the two groups, that they're just being intellectually dishonest. On the one hand, you can't, you know, herald the findings of J6 because that was all based upon cell phone information, or the CDC using cell phone information to make sure they're herd watching to make sure that everybody's staying 6 feet apart. This is information. This is a type of data visualization that is used every single day in law enforcement, in the military, and to say otherwise is just ridiculous.
Well, it's pretty compelling when you have video, surveillance video of, and this was, you acquired this from the state, right? That's not something that you had private people, you know, monitoring these drop boxes. You acquired this video from the states or the counties, and you're watching these people as they're stuffing these boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. That was all acquired via open records. And the frustrating part about all of it, and I don't know how well the movie is ultimately takes a few minutes of an 18-month-long investigation. One of the things that needs to be stressed about that video is that while what we show in the movie is very compelling, it is a fraction of what, not only what we do have, but of what we should have. So many jurisdictions told their constituents that they were surveilling the video and surveilling the drop boxes and did not. So many of them that had the cameras pointed at the ground or didn't work, or yeah, they're just issue upon issue that so undermined the integrity of the process that you know everybody was concerned about when those drop boxes showed up. But the government said, "Oh no, we've got a big plan," and they didn't. They didn't. I mean, it ranging from incompetence to out and out lies.
You know, I know some states have made corrections and or they have changed or had some election integrity reform laws that they have passed, but other states still are still doing the mail-in ballots, still doing the drop-off boxes. Does this midterm, this upcoming midterm election, does it give you great pause to know, have you seen it up close and personal, that this could happen again this year?
I think absolutely it could, with a great distinction now. America is awake. Tens of millions of people have seen the movie 2000 Mules and are aware of the vulnerability that the drop boxes present, and they are taking action. And in fact, we are working now with sheriffs in communities across the country to make sure that in 2022 there are plans in place to get not just eyes on the boxes, but the ability to use that surveillance video in near real time, which was something that was totally...
I'm sure you saw the recent CISA report identifying massive system vulnerabilities in the Dominion voting systems used in Georgia. And the other is that in some of the software that can be hacked, as I understand it, include ballot images, and they can actually print counterfeit ballots from these machines. I wanted to get your reaction to that news and whether you think any of this was deployed in the last election cycle.
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be lost on anyone that says that clearly had this information and waited until now to release it. And it's not any secret that there are vulnerabilities in these machines. What is astounding, though, is that it's been known by so many inside the halls of election administrators and state officials, and yet nothing has been done. It is absolutely the case that in most of these pieces of equipment, most of these election machines, you can put in a piece of copy paper that's been copied as a ballot, and it'll read it almost without exception. So the vulnerabilities are bleak. But what seems to be lacking is the political will to say, this is true, and therefore we will fix it. And that's where the American people must continue to press for accountability. And, you know, it's not coming as fast as we want it, but it is coming.
And I know in your testimony before the Arizona board last couple of weeks or so ago, you and Greg hinted that there was something bigger to come. You were working on something that might involve international corporations or major U.S. corporations. Are we any further down that road yet, or are we still going to have to wait a little longer?
No, we're still, we're further down the road, but it's been a long road. And we are trying to ensure that every piece of that project is buttoned up, and that as we begin to release the information, that it is released in such a way as to support not just the realization of the matter at hand, but also offer some solutions and gap fills and ways in which we can immediately act to help shore up the exposures in our local election. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is bigger, much bigger than the 2,000 Mules project?
Yeah, you know, I do. I do because it's really just a whole different layer of malfeasance, but it's all part of the piece.
Right.
Our elections are vulnerable from end to end, and for those who know how to manipulate it, it's there to be manipulated at the press of a button.
I know we go a long way back because when you were being targeted by every federal alphabet agency known to man, Congressman Cummings in the state of Maryland was after you then, and your husband and your business and everything else, and you were harassed and you fought through that and survived it. Are they coming after you again? I mean, have you put yourself in a position where you're better able to defend yourself and your family and your business? Are you prepared for whatever may come your way?
Probably the easiest way to answer that question is yes, they are. And I don't know that we're prepared as we can be, but I think the one element of preparation that should never be underestimated is the will to stay in fight. And we are unbreakable on that regard. There's nothing they can do to us that would cause us to take one step back.
Can you, any specific federal agency, can you name any of them? Sorry, if you prefer not to, I just was wondering.
I'm going to stay tight on that.
Yeah, because there's, at this point, unlike what I did when the targeting occurred first in 2010 through 2013, where I stayed silent and what that created was a great paper trail of all that was happening. Now we are getting very loud about things very quickly. And so I want to kind of see how the chess pieces move, but it's definitely being,
well, I just would think you have a bigger target on your back now than you did then. This is specific to how elections are stolen, how power is maintained in the establishment.
That's right.
And, you know, when power is at risk for these people, they do lash out. So our thoughts and prayers are with you and your husband, your family, everybody during this entire time. And we just want to thank you for fighting and shedding some light on this. And just know that those of us in the talk radio and the podcasting world, we're there fighting alongside with you and wish you all the best.
I appreciate it so much. We are definitely all in it together. Thank you so much.
All right, Catherine. Thanks again. Catherine Engelbrecht, truthevote.org is the website. 2,000 Mules. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And we are back. So how bad is it? Well, things are pretty bad when your own administration officials are freely and blatantly admitting there are problems. Here is the Treasury Secretary, old Yellen, as we call her, Janet Yellen, talking about inflation.
Still, we currently face macroeconomic challenges, including unacceptable levels of inflation, as well as the headwinds associated with the disruptions caused by the pandemic's effect on supply chains and the effects of supply-side disturbances to oil and food markets resulting from Russia's war in Ukraine.
It's never the Biden's fault.
No.
Gosh! Nope.
Never Biden's fault. It's either the pandemic or Putin, but she is admitting unacceptable levels of inflation, which, you know, is a start. It's like, you know, the very beginning of an addict admitting they have a problem. I'm wondering if she was holding a light up to her chin when she said that.
Yeah.
Don't know. Then there was, you know, I didn't think there'd be a better liar in the press secretary than Jen Psaki puppet. But I think we found one in KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre. Here's what she says about the economy.
What we're trying to say, what I'm trying to say to you, is that the economy is in a better place than it has been historically. And so we feel here at this administration, and other experts as well, is that we feel that we are in a good position to take on inflation. We are in a good position to really start really working on lowering prices.
How about that one, sports fans?
The economy is freaking great. Yeah.
Just living in our little bubble.
Historically. That's right. We're in a better place. You know, maybe historically, we're better than the Depression. Maybe better than the Great Recession. Barely. Does she actually believe the bull dookie she shovels every day? Actually, does she actually believe what she reads every day? Because she doesn't really talk about it. She just reads it. I didn't think it was possible to have anybody worse than Jen Psaki puppet. Of course, there was that idiot Scaramucci. Remember him?
Yeah.
Would he last a day? Another one of
something like that, yeah.
Trump's less than stellar hires.
Did the Fandango then?
Right. but that's economy's in a better place. That's what the KJP had to say. And then there's Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, and they dug her out of Rhode Island somewhere. She is inept as they come. She threw in the towel on gas prices just yesterday.
Unfortunately, that is the brutal reality. You know, this is in large part caused by Putin's aggression. You know, since Putin moved troops to the border of Ukraine, gas prices have gone up over $1.40 a gallon. And the president is asking for Congress and others for potential ideas. But as you say, the reality is that there isn't very much more to be done.
Oh, really? Well, why don't you reinstate the Trump policy? Start with that. And see how gas prices are affected.
Oh my God, these women are driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Has Putin ever really screwed with us so bad we were going through crises before? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's interfered. He's tried to interfere in elections, and
sure he has.
You know, they hack into stuff, but it's never. Look, we know what this is all about. The next thing you know, he will have come up and be held responsible for COVID-19.
What a piss and excuse.
But gas prices here hit another record, $4.95 on average. Gas in 13 states is now above $5 a gallon.
There you go.
And they're saying, nothing that we can do. Yeah, well, you said that you were going to release millions of barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. How'd that work out for you? Oh, not so good. And by the way, there's a major refinery, I think, down south. I'm not sure what state, that is shutting down because of the exorbitant prices, supply chain issues. So that's going to take 200,000 barrels a day off the market. That's going to completely wipe out the old SPR.
Yeah, we don't have enough refineries as it is.
No, that's a good point. We don't. We need more refineries because a lot of the oil has to be refined elsewhere. But before it comes over here, from the Saudis and others. Michigan Democrat Socialist Senator Debbie Stabenow. While gas prices hit another record under Biden, inflation rates are outpacing wages, and everything else is going through the roof. Listen to this, what this out-of-touch, elitist, snob-ass woman had to say about the plight of the average American. Listen.
I'd have to say, just on the issue of gas prices, after waiting for a long time to have enough chips in this country to finally get my electric vehicle, I got it and drove it from Michigan to here this last weekend and went by every single gas station. It didn't matter how high it was. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity for us to move to vehicles that aren't going to be dependent on the whims of the oil companies and the international markets.
Well, la-ti-da.
Yeah, bully for her.
How about that, folks? You know, I got me an EV. You poor little snot. You sniveling little snot. You're going to have to, I don't care about your gas prices. I drove right by it. Beep, beep. See ya. As most Americans could afford an electric vehicle, which costs anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000, even more if you get the top-of-the-line Teslas. But, you peasants, you can continue to suffer under Chairman Joe and his policies. Just buy a new $60,000 car and shut up. Wow. This is on the heels of Gene Sperling the other day saying, when he was asked by Potato Head over at CNN about, do you feel the pain? He goes, not so much. I'll try to say that I feel the pain personally is what he said, but I don't. I really don't. I'm in the Biden regime. I'm loaded. Hey, somebody that also did not feel the pain was Hunter Biden's hooker. Have you heard this story?
No, I don't think so.
Hunter
talking about
Hunter Biden's hooker. Story. I can't remember her name, but I mean, I read it. Come on, Joe. I know where you were going with that. Hunter Biden's hooker applied for and received a $20,000 federal PPP loan. I kid you not. And she, on the loan application, she put down sole female proprietorship.
Wow.
$20,000 PPP loan. Because, you know, look, she's a hooker. She couldn't do her business because, you know, COVID, everybody was locked down. But I'm sure.
Passed up.
I know. Joe, I'm sure Joe, or maybe Hunter, pulled a few strings. I wonder if Daddy knew, because he had access to some of the stuff on the laptop. You never know.
Who needed the stimulus, you know? I mean, what's up with that?
Well, you know, we always believed that Biden said he'd bring the country to his knees, but we never thought he meant literally.
Okay.
There it is, folks.
There it is.
There it is. Just unbelievable. The J6 hearings are going to be tomorrow night. Six hearings. Yeah, absolute circus, political theater, whatever you call it, kabuki theater. And we now know they've hired an ABC executive to present the hearings. Fox News won't be covering them live. I guess they're maybe got a little sudden pang of conscience. There'll be coverage, but they're not going to take the hearings live. Why? Because we know what's going to be in them, and we know what's not going to be in them. And we'll get to some of those in just a second, but Biden is using the DOJ as a weapon against political enemies, that according to Tucker Carlson. By the way, have you seen Tucker's special with Kid Rock yet? If not, you should. It's really good. That's our Kid Rock, We the People. Mm-hmm. So Tucker says he has proof. Take, for example, the case created by Pelosi's partisan committee to investigate the J6 riot. And here are the goals of the J6 committee, which, by the way, is illegal and unconstitutionally comprised. Their goal is, number one, to take Trump down, hopefully discredit him enough where he'll never be able to run again. But if they could, they would try to indict him and then, or make it kill two birds with one stone. The other is they want to abolish the Electoral College. So now we go to mob rule in America. That's radical Jamie Raskin, what he wants to do. But here again, remember Peter Navarro was arrested the other day, and he has invoked executive privilege, meaning he should not come and testify before Congress because the conversations he had with Trump were privileged. The deliberations, anything that they were discussing was, you know, executive privilege, and they didn't care about that. So they tossed that aside and they indicted him anyway, put him in leg irons, put him in, Hinckley cell. Have you heard the whole nine yards? Mm-hmm. But then we find out Barack Obama's attorney general, Eric Holder, was caught concealing information about his department's decision to run guns illegally to Mexican drug cartels.
Right.
In Fast and Furious. One weapon later was then used to kill a federal agent, Agent Brian Terry. I interviewed the Terry family years ago. Obama's attorney general, top law officer in the land, was held in criminal contempt of Congress. But how did he get out of it? The DOJ didn't even issue him a ticket. They didn't arrest him like they did with five agents with Peter Navarro off of a plane the other day. No, Holder invoked executive privilege. And the Justice Department said, okay, we can't touch him because of that privilege. Well, so now Navarro, they've completely ignored the privilege. And so this is why when Tucker says they've weaponized the DOJ against political enemies, there is the proof of what he is talking. This is not the way civilized countries operate, folks.
Nope.
You know, just because you control the White House and both houses of Congress doesn't mean you get to throw your political opponents in jail. That's not who we are. That's not what we do in the United States of America. That's what they do in Cuba, in Venezuela, in the former Soviet Union, in China. Remember all the students in Tiananmen Square?
Oh, yeah.
Tens of thousands. This was the anniversary of that June 4th. We just went by it.
You know, it's funny that Eric Holder had some play in distributing illegal firearms, and we lose a federal agent directly due to that. Yet, we're speaking on the other side of banning AR-15s.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's
the irony.
I know.
It's madness. But this is what they do. They weaponize the IRS. This is, again, these people are evil and they must be brought down. I'm talking about politically at the ballot box.
Yep.
So the J6 committee, we have an internal Capitol Police review that has just been released, found that sweeping intelligence and security failures were all happening on Pelosi's watch. Okay, maybe she was too busy driving her drunk husband around. But again, Nancy Pelosi, under the Capitol Police, said under her tutelage, they were ill-equipped to defend one of America's most symbolic and high-value institutions two decades after the 9/11 attacks. And we're talking about the U.S. Capitol. And by the way, an NBC poll now says fewer Americans say Trump is responsible for January 6th. That's now was 52%. It's now down to 45%. And that's the goal. They want to drive those numbers back up to get the American people all enraged just in time for the midterms. And they want to protect their power. So this is why she came up that she concocted this scheme, because she knew, based on the agenda they were going to run, that the economy would fall apart, collapse, and probably even, who knows, destroy American institutions. And they needed a boogeyman. That boogeyman is Donald Trump. And January 6th, when he told the Proud Boys at a debate to stand by, he actually meant stand down. And when he told the folks to go fight for their constitutional rights, it wasn't an armed insurrection. It was a peaceful one where they just wanted to stop the certification of the Electoral College vote. So Kash Patel, he's been on this pod before, the former chief of staff at the Defense Department. He talked about a very important meeting that occurred 2 days before January 6th on January 4th about from President Trump and the Trump administration, how they proposed to protect the deplorables and others from violence in our nation's capital.
It's not one of those meetings you forget. The Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, the Chief of Staff to the President of the United States of America, Mark Meadows, and the President of the United States himself in the Oval Office talking about some of the most serious national security threats we were facing. And then we pivoted to setting up for January 6th, and Mr. Trump unequivocally authorized up to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women for us to utilize should the second part of the law, the request, come in. But those requests never did.
They didn't come in because Pelosi or somebody, maybe it was Milley, and Patel says Milley has confirmed this offer.
Mark Milley has also testified under oath, as of Secretary Miller and myself, and we've always been consistent that the president authorized it. If Mark Milley, it's my belief, had said anything otherwise, that committee, including Adam Schiff, would have leaked that information because it would advance their narrative. Furthermore, the memo you speak of, the National Guard reports in through the chain of command. That is through the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Army. There's a delegation memo that Christopher Miller was smart enough to craft in order to save time so that we would not have to go through bureaucratic gymnastics should the request come in. That memorandum was executed by the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Secretary of the Army, who controls the National Guard.
Now, I want to ask you a question. Does it make sense if you follow the left's logic, and an oxymoron, yeah. But if you follow their argument, let's put it that way, that it was Trump who incited this insurrection. Trump wanted to unleash a rebellion to take over the Capitol, to take over government. There are a lot of problems with that. But the first argument is, why would you offer 20,000 members of the National Guard to be deployed if you actually were trying to start a fight?
Exactly.
I mean, that's number one, right? Number two, why would you then try to take over the government and conduct a coup, an insurrection, with people armed with nothing more than their cell phones and maybe a few American flags?
Yeah.
Because there was no, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, they left all their firearms in the hotel room. They didn't bring them with the to the rally. And that's never been addressed, really. There's all sorts of other questions. Julie Kelly, by the way, has got a great piece in American Greatness. She's written the book about January 6th. Uh-huh. We'll get her back on the pod here one of these days. But
this should be an open and shut case, in my opinion. And we're wasting all of this money. And plus, for it to go on prime time with this producer. I mean, how much is he getting paid?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Probably buku bucks.
Taxpayer money.
Yeah. So it just, and there are others. I mean, are they going to release the 14,000 hours of surveillance video? Don't we get, again, they said this was an attempt to take over the country and the government. Shouldn't we get a chance to see that for ourselves? But no, that's been kept under wraps. The 14,000 hours of surveillance video. Do you know that the January 5th surveillance video has also been wiped clean? Yeah.
Wow.
Security video from January 5th. Will the committee explain why Capitol Police erased almost all the surveillance video from the day before the protest? Remember, Democrats were accusing Republicans of giving reconnaissance tours.
Right.
Of the so-called insurrection. But all the security video that could have proven that claim, oddly, has been purged from the Capitol Police video files, as has evidence of the Ashley Babbitt murder. The only thing we have of that is that stuff that was taken by cell phone from the other side of the door. When Lieutenant Byrd, Judicial Watch has reported that, you know, under FOIA request, they had to turn over the declination memo, meaning they declined to prosecute Lieutenant Byrd of the Capitol Police that shot Ashley Babbitt in the neck, and then she bled out and died. Air Force veteran, by the way, four tours. And yet, any of the video surveillance evidence, and there are cameras outside the speaker's lobby there, that was not included. So evidence is missing. Evidence they won't show us. Evidence is missing. And when you do not hand over exculpatory evidence, that means you have something to hide.
So are they going to have a judge presiding over this hearing, or is it just this panel?
No, it's just a panel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's just a hearing. It's not a trial. It's not a courtroom. It's just a typical dog and baloney show, I should say. But again, will the committee make public the inquiry into the police killing of Ashley Babbitt? Where are the internal investigative reports on police misconduct on January 6th? Rosalind Byrd, or Pike, I'm sorry. Was it Pike? I can't remember her last name. Sorry, I'll look it up. But there were four Trump supporters that died that day. Ashley Babbitt was murdered. And another woman was trampled to death, beaten with nightsticks and everything. So there are a lot of questions here that need to be answered. But you're not going to see these. You're not going to hear these. It's all going to be Donald Trump ordered this attack. That's like Radical Raskin says the evidence is going to blow the roof off the place. I think it's a poor choice of words. I think is what they're looking into. But, that's allegedly what is to come. So keep that in mind. And with missing evidence or evidence they're not willing to show it. By the way, Steve Bannon has subpoenaed Pelosi and members of the J6 committee because he's been indicted along with Peter Navarro, but he wants under discovery, he wants to get some of this evidence. He subpoenaed Pelosi and 15 lawmakers and staffers last week as he prepares for his trial next month. And so now they're saying that they're going to rely on the speech and debate clause, meaning that you can't be held accountable for words you say on the House floor or in Congress. So that allows members of Congress to speak their minds freely, but it does not allow you to conspire and have undercover operatives and all the rest of this stuff to try to set up a political opponent. And so that is, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you can't have executive privilege and we can have speech and debate. And vice versa. So if either executive privilege is upheld here, or if it's not, then speech and debate vanishes, and then they ought to be able to answer those subpoenas. So, I mean, who knows who's going to watch this thing? I don't think it's going to be that well watched at all, unless you're a big Young Sheldon fan, and you just stick around to watch that show. Yeah, that show get canceled. Great news. Chesa Boudin, radical far-left DA Soros bot, the son of two weather underground terrorists, has been successfully voted out of office by recall.
All right.
It turns out, who would have thought that even the people of radical left-wing blue San Francisco have limits when it comes to out-of-control crime. You know, the crap on the streets, oh, we can take that. But watching people loot and drive our prices up and damage our properties and have criminals take our family members, not so much.
Well, who knows who London Breed is going to install next, right?
That is true. So that is something that they probably have an interim. But even she was starting to get sick and tired of Boudin. Elsewhere, there's a new boogeyman. And you know what the Democrats normally rely on going into every election, besides cheating and stealing, is racism. But now they're kicking it up a notch, bam, as Emerald likes to say.
There you go.
There we got it that time. Dick Turbin says it's not just racism; it's white supremacy that is on the ballot.
White supremacist violence has swept across America, and this trend raises the obvious question: why is it getting worse?
White supremacy, as we're watching black on black crime skyrocket in our major cities, as we're watching a black man go into Tulsa, Oklahoma, into a hospital there and shoot and kill four people, as we watched a brown man in Uvalde, Texas. Somebody, look, this is not a racial component, but they've got to make it about race. Because you'll notice now everything is white supremacist. J6 is about white supremacists. These shooters are white supremacists. The mass shooters are white supremacists. Here's Amy Klobuchar, Democrat, Minnesota.
At its core, this is about white supremacy. What happened in Buffalo, we all think there's some widespread agreement on that. That is about guns. But it's also about how the information is being transmitted and our inability in this chamber to do one thing about it, because we've done zilch. Zippo, nothing.
And now they're saying that the midterm elections will allow white supremacists to rise within the Republican Party and take over, you know, all large swaths of government in the hands of white supremacists. Gee, you mean like the one that's in the White House now who's friends with the Grand Exalted Cyclops of the KKK?
Jesus, holding amazing. Hands with them. Saw a picture of that.
All right, so our cringe moment of the day. Got to go back to Dick Turbin. He had a bad day yesterday. And so whenever we get a chance to highlight those bad days, boy, we're on it. Here's our cringe moment. It has to do with guns.
There are media figures like Tucker Carlson dragging racist conspiracy theories into mainstream America. More than 400 episodes of Tucker Carlson's show have amplified the so-called Great Replacement conspiracy theory, guiding principle of modern white supremacist movement. As lawmakers, we must speak in one voice in repudiating this incendiary rhetoric, along with any individual or extremist group that resorts to violence.
Oh God, I'm going to be sick.
He is named well.
Dick Turbin. Yeah. Sounds more like a hat.
It is. I think we named him Dick Turbin years ago when he was comparing U.S. soldiers to terrorists. True story. True story. But this idea that, again, the white supremacists, great replacement theory. See, that's what they're running with. And it's Tucker Carlson. He's the big white supremacist. 400 episodes of the great replacement theory, which, by the way, is actually fully discussed on a lot of these other venues. But now they're trying to project their own undesirable traits on the rest of us. Time for the unhinged moment du jour.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
This time it's Chuck Hugh Schumer's turn to go absolutely bonkers on guns.
You hear a lot of talk from Republicans about the importance of bipartisanship in the Senate. Well, now's the opportunity to show us. Once again, we're giving them the opportunity, the chance to say yes. We're ready and eager to find common ground on something that can actually help address gun violence.
You are twisted. You hear me? You are screwed up in the head.
Yeah, this is a guy that was advocating violence on the Supreme Court steps.
True.
You know, you'll rue the day. Blah, 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 blah. So again, look, America will become infinitely better when Pelosi, Durbin, Schumer, and all the rest of their henchmen, and of course the squad as well, Spinning Bowl along with the others, are defeated. And that will happen in 152 days. Our Pockets of Patriots today, we want to thank you for listening and sharing, downloading, and make sure you share it with your friends and fellow patriots, because this is where the resistance meets. Three times a week, we drop new episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Of course, the commentary is on Saturdays.
And please subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe and rate and review. That helps as well. Secaucus, New Jersey. Okay. Remember the Secaucus 7?
Okay.
Is that a movie?
Yeah.
Theodore, Alabama. They weigh in for the first time. First download from Theodore, Alabama. Niles, Michigan, the same. First-timer, so welcome to the Sean Casey Show.
The home of Slingerland Drums.
Is that right? Niles, Michigan?
When they were made, yes.
I never knew that. Yeah, you used to play Slingerlands, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I loved them.
Yeah. But and what was your symbol? Were they Zildjians? Is that what you used?
I used Zildjians and Meinels, and yeah, I used quite a few different ones.
Right.
Yeah, whatever was nice and hot sounding.
You were Mr. Percussion.
Yeah,
still,
that's me.
Still is.
Let's watch Joe as he percusses.
And sweats, yeah.
He has a few percuss words for you.
Yes.
Out of them. Yeah.
Finally, Durham, North Carolina is our last Pocket of Patriot. Thanks so much. And thank you. And we already read our email. So SeanCaseyShow@gmail.com. That's TheSeanCaseyShow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
All right. Thanks again for joining us here. And thanks to our excellent executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
You got it, brother.
And our associate producer, Michelle Drosella.
You're welcome.
And to our other associate producers, Hunter and Logan Casey, back on Friday with our Outrages of the Week. Until then, remember, stay free.